The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here on Analyze This. The table talk is in effect. We're going to do some programming notes. And hey, when we come back, I'm going to pull up something there about Rita Moreno. I know Rani going to like that one. The programming notes for tonight, Monday, March 11th, the PBS News Hour, right, kicks in at 7 to 8. The bookcase, that's Shana Richards, that's from 8 to 8:30. Sarah Addy from 8:30 to 9. Antiques Roadshow from 9 to 10, right? Explore 1968 letters from a young Bill Clinton and a 1952 John Falta illustration. Okay, that's from 9 to 10. And then American Masters from 10 to 11:30, explore the life and career of groundbreaking writer, performer, and subversive star Mae West. That's from 10 to 11:30. And then I'm Employing Company at 11:30. You know why I'm Employing Company is at 11:30? The night got time turned forward last night, Rani. You there up there, right? So Rani and Rocky, 2 hours apart of the time turning forward night before last then. You lose them, man? Can't hear them, man. Rani and Rocky, morning.
Good morning.
Good. I was part of the time turning forward Saturday night into Sunday morning then.
Yeah.
But I was there asleep, so it didn't matter. Yeah. It happened at 2 o'clock. Yeah.
Neville, I
want to
finish up with something I forgot to mention.
Yeah, go ahead.
What it is is that we've had a number of Virgin Islanders who have written books. I know my good friend, Judge Willock, and a number of other people have written books about the history of the Virgin Islands. But what we don't have is a combination of some pertinent information from these books condensed into a course that our young people would have. That's why we don't have a lot of the political where it are. That's why today you could go down to some students and you ask them, hey, how many senators they have? They'll tell you, 15, 16, 18, I'm cutting through. No, really. Just because they don't know. We don't have that type of information in our system. That's where it starts. It starts there because there's an absence from the home. A lot of people studying out of that. So these young people, to get them involved, you got to bring it in the classroom. You got to start there just like any other thing else. You have to create that vehicle, because remember, our students are like sponges. They take up, they absorb everything you give them. So once you get them that beginning, you don't know when it's going to come up, you know. It's going to come up probably later in life, but it stays there. It stays in that subconscious mind until the time's ready to be used. And so that's where I think we are missing. We haven't had that condensation of a course.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell me the story that you're teaching it in reading books.
Well, you know, the good thing about Analyze This is everybody listens. You know what I'm saying? So we're grateful for that, right? The Senate President has reached out to me, Novell Francis, and he let me to know that I have a mandate for a VI-centric civic course in high school. Dr. Lawson, Dr. Arnold are putting the curriculum and textbooks / workbook together. So, you know, at least we're on the right track. Now, Rani, the umbilical code for Harold Willax, what about that? Wouldn't that be a good start or something like that for us?
Absolutely.
As a foundational thing to make this thing work, man?
Absolutely. But, you know, Neville, the legislature needs to put some money into forming like a commission of educated and people. Wallace would be in it. Wallace Williams.
But Rani, right before you came into the legislature, there was a controversial bill that passed that allowed for VLTs to take place in St. Thomas and St. John, right? There was an override. And I think education was supposed to be a primary beneficiary, Rocky Leibold, right? There was an education fund, right? So we actually have the funding source right? But then again, what happens is a lot of people who are knocking gaming and gambling and all that stuff, when they start to see the revenues, that's the same revenue source that they don't want to tap into to fund everything else, Rocky Leibold. You know what I'm saying?
Well, never.
I mean, come on now. This is like Biden telling the Republican them, I notice a lot of I'll vote against my infrastructure bill, but then when you look wrong and infrastructure happenings in your city and your state, you're showing up and taking credit for it. I mean, classic example, man.
I'm so glad you brought up, because you're speaking to the author. The truth is that education initiative fund came under my tenure.
Yeah. All right. That's right. You were president. That was your last day. Yeah.
And the reason why it came about was during that time, we had an issue with the Middle States Association in terms of accreditation.
Correct.
They claimed that we needed to have some form of a site-based management at our school system.
Yeah.
At our school. And I imagine these people are against all of that, you know. But when Middle States tell them about that, because they had a bit and they were moving a long time. Oh, no, we can't be giving these principals no money down there at school. When Middle States Association told them, listen, we need to have some site-based management. Oh, God, man, everybody taking the pill. So that's how the education fund came out.
Bill Knapping and Bill Credit were going on for a long time then.
Yep. I never made talk about it because the truth is, it's not about me. It's about being able to help the community and the student population.
Correct.
That's what it was about.
Yeah. Ronnie wanted to say something. Huh?
Neville,
yeah.
I wanted to say the legislature could lead the way in making a policy based on a commission of educated and well-meaning people meeting with money to develop what Rocky said, a book that most and almost everybody would accept as this is Virgin Islands history, and begin it from way back and deal with the Danish transferring to the U.S. and getting an understanding of how.
We could have at least 2 to 3 editions of that with how rich from a textbook standpoint. We could have multiple editions of that.
You could have VI History 1 taught in 9th grade, mm-hmm. VI History 2 mm-hmm. taught in 10th grade. You could do something like that.
You're diversifying the educational curriculum as relates to history.
Yes. And we have the people in our community that, like you mentioned, the umbilical cord. It's a lot of people. Wallace had a Caribbean library dedicated, a floor dedicated to Caribbean history and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have people, you know, the League of Women Voters. You could name organizations, you know, that would contribute to a 3 or 4 volume Virgin Islands history.
Yeah, man.
Without the confusion.
Man. And Ronnie, that don't have to start in high school either. That could start at maybe junior high school level as well.
Exactly.
Right.
When you're talking about the sins, look, my grandmother taught me a lot of sins that are, you know, that rise to the level of timeless sins. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
a timeless sin that stands the test of time.
Yes, sir.
You got a lot of them through history.
Yes, sir.
Virgin Islands have that too.
Yeah, for sure.
And
for sure.
Hey, check this one, but Ronnie. Monkey, you know what tree to climb, man?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. You know?
Neville.
Yeah.
And you know what all of this speaks to? It speaks to a national pride.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
That's what begins the process. Yeah.
Terry T sent me a text. He said good morning. Adi used Val's book often for his mystery questions. So Adi Atlee, when he used to be on the radio on Tito Val's book, he used to use that for his mystery question. Of course, the late great Adi Atlee was a part of the family here on WTJX as well for many years. By the way, I'm sure you heard during the break about Rita Moreno, right? Because you know we had a documentary for her on WTJX. And now now Rani and Rocky in the audience, right? She was born in Puerto Rico. She was born in Humacao, right? But check this out. Didn't know this part, and I know the public are like this, right? Her maternal grandparents were Justino Marcano. He was born in Puerto Rico. And Trinidad from Spain, right? And it said Moreno's mother, right, moved to New York City in 1936, right, taking her daughter, but not her son, right? Moreno's younger brother, Francisco, who Moreno would not see again until 2021. Moreno adopted the surname of her first stepfather, Edward Moreno, Rosa Maria's second husband, and she spent her teenage years living in the New York City suburb of Valley Stream. That's right there next to John F. Kennedy, not far from Kennedy Airport, out in Long Island. But it's amazing, right, that, again, another classic example of the Caribbean and the movement of people, Rani Russell, in her case, having roots in Puerto Rico and maternal grandparents from Trinidad. It never ceases to amaze me, Rani. Never.
Yeah, and that is the Caribbean at its finest, because a lot of contributions to the United States had Caribbean roots. And that is part of, you know, Hubert Harrison come from St. Croix.
Mm-hmm. The great orator. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're talking about understanding of how we in the Caribbean, and particularly Virgin Islands, have contributed to the global education, the global technology, and the global everything. And it, as Rocky said it so succinctly, pride. You have pride, and then you have a vision. And that vision carries you because you have the confidence that you could achieve. And it comes from Virgin Islands' pride, confidence, and then they achieve. And we got people achieving in all walks of life. You remember what they're talking about, okay? The science.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a real good expression of what Virgin Islanders have contributed to the U.S. and the globe. And we need to acknowledge that, Neville. We need to start to chronicle it and acknowledge it so that people could know that we in Pian Pian.
Another local term. No, Rocky, and Rani spoke of confidence. But one of the things that comes out of what you're talking about is a consciousness as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Having an understanding and appreciation for your history, because we're all standing on the shoulders, the shoulders of our parents, our ancestors, and great Virgin Islands, Rocky labeled.
Yes, it's about who we are. You know, it's being able to understand from whence we came, because sometimes you don't know that, and you know what they say, that if you don't have good knowledge of what happened in the past, you sometimes make that mistake again, and you don't want to do that. You want to know what happened in the past. You don't want to live on the past, but you want to be able to know that so you can move forward. That's like, it's like experience. Experience teaches you what to do and what not to do, because you would have seen some of these things that, it's like today's government. You know, I have nothing against some of these, the younger generation as the governor has said, generation now. I had to tell him generation yesterday, but, you know, a lot of these things you're talking about with generation now, them things done gone, you know. But it's nice to know what you are able to do, but you got to come forward. And part of generation now issue is that they don't remember or don't appreciate those in the past. So sometimes you have to be able to take the past and move it into the present and be able to create some type of a definition or a purpose that takes you beyond that. And I don't think we see each other way. And we have to be able to do that. That's what generations come and generations go.
But you know something, you know something, Rocky? This is why structure is so important, right? For example, Ms. Molina has chimed into the conversation. She said, what is missing is a curriculum. She said, lots of books on VA history, but no curriculum, yeah. Right? Supposedly being written, but not yet seen. Not sure why the delay. And that's why you need structure, Ronnie Russell.
Yeah.
Right, and as relates to education, structure in education comes from a curriculum, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And we need that.
And the curriculum need to be tested, you know.
Of
it
course,
ain't every curriculum that is written that
yes, yes, yes. This one size fit all or everything is applicable. It don't necessarily work, man. Yeah,
you know this whole thing that they did with education in the U.S. No Child Left Behind, and they all kind of things. They were bad. It wasn't good. You know,
you know what it was, right? It was a political slogan that they tried to turn into something that could be curriculum based. And then once you get too much politics involved, you know what happens?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And that's what you don't want. You want genuine involvement because of education and genuine, you know, transmission and information to influence young people, young minds. You want them to have a broad scope of thought. You want them to analyze things. You know what I mean?
Understand that. But that's what that's what we do. You know something? Maybe something that Congress could look at is maybe they should mandate state history for every state and jurisdiction.
Exactly.
You know
what
I'm saying? At least 1 year of that, right? Because U.S. history and world history and government and all that stuff. But if you're living in a particular jurisdiction, a lot of these different states, they have constitutions and all that stuff. We are embarking on our sixth constitutional convention. One of the things that they should mandate is that you at least know the history of your state or your jurisdiction. If they really care about, you know, getting people to understand how valuable history is, Rocky Laybutt.
Yo, listen, you mentioned about curriculum just a while ago. But, and that's all great, and that's probably the best vehicle to go forward with. But what's even more important than that is the leadership demanding these things be done and time set up to do it. Because we could just be talking about this thing forever. We could say, yeah, okay, let's go ahead and do this here. But tell me, look, I want this done. We are in March now. April. By November, I want to see something that we can really go forward. Too often, we allow these things to run forever. You know?
We got into a break, but Wallace Williams just sent me something. Apparently, Roger Hill. You know that name, Rocky? Roger Hill wrote a book, Clear the Road, a Virgin Islands history textbook from back in the day. So we got foundational start right there, stuff way back in the day. We'll take a break and come back and talk about this a little bit more.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Ah, sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here on Analysis, and I hear an echo. I hear an echo there. There we go. So, good morning once again. Sorry about that. Let me do a quorum call real quick. Joining me from Boston this morning, but he from St. Croix, out to the west, the one only Ronnie Russell, four-term senator from the District of St. Croix, Senate President in the 29th Legislature. Good morning, Ronnie. How are you? I can't hear Ronnie. Good morning, Ronnie.
I'm here.
Ronnie. How are you?
Good. And morning to your wonderful audience.
Okay, good. Glad to have morning. You. And joining me from, I think he's somewhere down the south, down in the GA. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
The one and only Armando Racky Lambert, 8-term senator, twice Senate President in the 21st Legislature, which was 95-96. And the 24th Legislature, which was 2001-2002. Good morning, Racky Lambert. Mr. Racky Lambert, glad to have you on.
Good morning to the president, man. You know, and to your listening audience, Mr. President.
Roger Hill was a two-term senator out of St. Thomas, man.
Yeah, I know Roger Hill. But listen, since you brought up something in that bill, something I want to pass to Ronnie and you, because what we're speaking about history, our history speaks about all walks of life. And one of our biggest part of history, particularly in St. Croix, is Quail Bay, Stanley and the 10 Sleepless Nights.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking that somewhere along the line, we are losing out in the musicians, but we should be able to create an atmosphere or a classroom setting that Stanley would take a number of youngsters and get them into the business of doing what he does, you know, preparing that for the next generation. Otherwise, just like how we don't buy anybody, these big sweet bread and them things no more, those things don't go down the drain. So we need to have that succession, really. You know, go about it and find a way to do it, give them an opportunity to have these youngsters come in and study the art of playing that kind of music.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I think
it'll work. You know, of course. I know Ronnie as a musician, he would embrace that.
Absolutely.
Wholeheartedly.
And, you know, yeah, wholeheartedly, because part of the culture and most importantly, just how we live includes, you know, music. Food, everything. So,
everybody knows Sandy.
Yeah.
All over the world. And you know,
but they got standing in the Smithsonian already or no?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
you know what I'm saying. But this book, right? This Roger Hill book, right? Clear the Road, right? And I'm just reading it based on what Wallace Williams just sent me, right? A Virgin Islands history textbook, right? It's in the Virgin Islands Bureau of Libraries, Museums and Archaeological Services, St. Thomas, right? Virgin Islands, Government Department of Education, Charles Tamale, Office of Elementary and Secondary Education, right? And they got that was a sponsoring agency on the Washington, D.C., the Ethnic Heritage Studies Program, right? And from a description, it said African history, European history, and it's actually a fourth grade book. It said this fourth grade Virgin Islands history textbook written for young Virgin Islanders depicts the struggle of their West African ancestors as they move from slavery to emancipation and beyond. The title of the text is the name of a freedom song used by Danish West Indian slaves in the fight for emancipation, written from an Afro-West Indian perspective. 13 chapters focus on early Virgin Islanders, Christopher Columbus' visit, economic reasons motivating Europeans to settle in the islands of the Caribbean, Denmark and the West African slave trade, Africa before the Europeans, the West African slave in the Danish West Indies, early struggles for freedom, the road to freedom, the proclamation of 1847, after emancipation, the new struggle, readiness for change, and the St. Croix Labor Rebellion of 1878. Each chapter contains discussion questions and supporting illustrations. A glossary and topical index conclude the textbook. So we already got the foundation, Ronnie Russell, man, based on why we're reading here from this publishing from Roger Hill some 40 years ago. What's going on, Ronnie? We fell asleep at the wheel.
And not only fell asleep on the wheel, we start to leave people out because they want, you know, prominent political.
Right.
That's how we leave people out.
Basically, you're telling me that style prevailing over substance, Ronnie Russell?
Of course. And that's part of our problem. That, you know, we allow that to happen. And look what you just said. With Roger Hill, that's the Valdemar Hill father.
Yeah, right? Valdemar Hill senior, right, was his father. Mm-hmm. That's Valdemar Hill brother, according to what I read for his obituary.
And in the Daily News. That whole family is into education and striving to achieve and everything. And mm-hmm. we have a lot of families from the Virgin Islands that. People excel, but then we forget, and we act like they don't exist, and that's part of the problem. Look, Rocky. Rocky is a testament to that. How you gonna mention Rocky as a generation done or whatever they call? Rocky is a walking encyclopedia, walking encyclopedia of knowledge because of his stint in the legislature. He grew up in St. John. The mm-hmm. whole,
but you know, historically, right? Rocky Leibold and Rocky, we ain't got blowing smoke after. I just speaking facts here now, so don't, you know what I mean? I don't want you to think we're just saying it because it sounds good. I mean, why say when you look at it factually, Rocky Leibold is the leading territorial elected official in the history of the Virgin Islands, because Wang Louis, right? Wang Louis served 2 years as a district senator, but he served. What, 10 years, 9 to 10 years as a governor, and the other 2 or 3 years as lieutenant governor, right? Depending on how you want to look at his first stint with Cyril King, right? Rocky does 16 years of territorial elected representation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So it speaks for itself.
And Barry, they were local in terms of
district. Yeah, Rocky, Rocky, how much campaign you been in? About 11 of them? territory-wide campaign, or not district campaign, right?
I mentioned that because it's how we don't forget things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't forget, you know.
And I'm reading Roger Hill's obituary here because he passed away in June of 2022, right? He said he was a passionate mm-hmm. educator, historian, author, politician, and Buddhist monk. After graduating from NYU in 1968, Roger spent his early years as a history teacher at Charlotte Damali High School. Right. His passion for public service led him to run for senator in the Virgin Islands legislature, where he was a member from 75 to 79. It says 74 to 78, but that's because they use the election year. You know what I'm saying? And his passion for education and his interest in documenting the history of the Virgin Islands for future generations was a driving force for him, which led him to co-author with his father, Valdemar Ahill Sr., Rise to Recognition, an account of U.S. Virgin Islanders from slavery to self-government. He also authored Clear the Road, which we mentioned, right? His passion for public service and education never ceased. So when he later moved to St. Croix, he established and managed the AM Learning Academy for preschool and elementary school children. And subsequently, his passion to serve others led him to join the Buddhist faith, where he was a Buddhist monk for several decades in Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Arizona. So that's a great Virgin Islander again.
Exactly.
Ronnie Russell, what are we talking about? I'm glad to analyze this is serving its purpose as a conduit for educating the public as to how precious and how valuable Virgin Islands over the years has been, you know, have been to allow for us. And we need to hold on to it and continue to promote it.
Right. You know, and my introduction to Buddhism, happened early. And I'm glad to hear that he was a Buddhist monk. I mean, you know, the idea that we have encompassed the whole scope of humanity in this small, small territory where people expand. You know, Edmund William Blyden, you know?
Yeah, we spoke about that on March 1st. We spoke about that on Virgin Islands. Yeah, man. So
it ain't one person from one island. It's just a conglomerate of Virgin Islanders that have achieved.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to put that down.
And not only that, but Rocky, right? You notice what happened here today, Rocky? You notice it? We were talking about Little Valls, right? Born in St. Croix, reside in St. Thomas, and then was in St. John. With Roger Hill, Roger Hill born in St. Thomas and moved to St. Croix. You know what I'm saying? I just got a text message. Good morning. Roger Hill taught me Virgin Islands history in ninth grade at Charlotte Amali High School. He was an excellent teacher and probably why I decided to teach history as a career. Wow.
That's a wonderful story.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, man. Rocky, we got reason to be proud about our own again, man. And we keep taking our own for granted, Rocky. Not good.
Exactly.
Not good. Wow. I had no intention of talking about Roger Hill when I busted the door this morning, but now I love him every minute of it, man. Wow. One thing. That's what they say, right? When I was a teenager, he had a group named The Fix, right? He said the song was, "Why don't they do what they say? Say what they mean. One thing leads to another." Watch all this thing lead to another Little Valls, lead to Roger Hill. Wow. Rock, you're right. We need some more national pride up in this place, man.
Yep.
Confidence and consciousness.
Listen, we are full of. Listen, when you look at the Virgin Islands and you see this college come up, just go to the big Ivy League schools. You're talking about Yale, MIT,
MIT ain't an Ivy League, but it ain't that level. Dartmouth, Brown, Penn, Cornell. I mean, Clement White. Remember, Clement White is a lecturer, at Brown, right?
Look at who have gone to these schools.
Right?
This small territory, that and the map, some benign like that. You know, really. Look at what we produce here. So it tells you the potential we have, but we don't. You see Puerto Rico? People are not Puerto Rico, but Puerto Rico have a lot of national pride.
Part of that, though,
is that the language makes it work for them.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, they, regardless of where they go, look at the other island. You go to New York, the first thing they ask you, you start talking, oh, you from Jamaica?
You from Jamaica? As far as they're concerned, you only have one island in the Caribbean, Jamaica.
Yeah. I say, look, I'm from the Americas of the Caribbean, and we don't show enough about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't speak enough about that. And Ronnie said something earlier that sometimes who you are makes a difference. If you're not part of the so-called clique, your information gets to on the side. You know what I mean?
Style prevailing over substance. It can't last. Another ex-principal chimed in this morning. He said, "Morning. There's a need to institutionalize the culture of the VI. We have to find ways to assure its sustainability. Our culture is a significant attraction to the modern tourists. Our leaders should look at the important aspects of culture that include food, music, dance, history, and other areas and formulate ways to ensure its continuation. Department of Tourism, Department of Education, Sports Park and Rec, the private sector, and others should sit at the table to establish a pathway forward with everyone reading from the same music sheet." Thank you, Willa John. So Rani, that's a part of the mandate. That should be a part of the mandate for the Constitutional Convention.
It has to be. More importantly, it has to organically go from the people. And that's why I don't support that adoption of
the revised organic act?
We have done things organically from our people throughout time. We don't change now. We should not change now. Because, you know, from 1733 to the fire ban to everything, it came from the people of the Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Dr. Highfield, right? I remember in 2002, October 1, 2002, I'll never forget it. I went down by the fort. Because you know that's contract day, right? And Department of Planning and Natural Resources, that's a big thing with them. So we went down by the fort, and Dr. Highfield was the guest speaker that night. And by the way, he passed away, but yesterday he and I share a birthday. He would have made a birthday yesterday. But he said we shouldn't just talk about the slaves and the people. We need to talk about the spirit of them.
Yes.
Right? And I'm there. You know, at the time when I'm 30, 38, and I'm listening, and I said, "Well, here is a man coming from the mainland, married one of our local, our finest young ladies here. And he's speaking with this type of passion, Rocky Leibold and Ronnie Russell and the audience, about how passionate, right, and how meaningful, and how we shouldn't just look at what our ancestors did, but look at why they did it and why they felt the need to do it. Because they weren't going to live a certain way forever." You know what I'm saying? And that's the intangibles that we tend to take for granted, you know what I'm saying, because of the tangibles. And that's when you look at great conversation so far. When we come back, I want to talk about Ramadan and how it's going to impact the Middle East with the conflict over there. We'll be back right after this.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX-FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party, or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression, and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Once the highest paid actress in America.
Goodness, what beautiful diamonds. Goodness had nothing to do with it, dearie.
Lead writer-producer seductress Mae West. She was a girl who lost her reputation.
Bad girl.
You find out.
And never missed it.
I'm no angel.
The glamour of 1930s Hollywood depended a lot on Mae West.
You mustn't see me like that.
Come here and see Mae West, Dirty Blonde.
Are you in town for good?
I expect to be here, but not for good.
On American Masters.
Tune in March 11th at 10 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here and analyze this great discussion at the table talk. I got Rocky Labor and Ronnie Russell joining me. Turn on that music a little bit there, the theme music. Okay, there we go. And Ronnie Russell joining me. Both are away, but the heart is here. In the Virgin Islands, and I want to thank both of them for this conversation so far, as we recognize great Virgin Islands to Delito Valls and Roger Hill getting their props here and analyze this. Gentlemen, we cannot lose sight of something that's impacting the globe, what's taking place in the Middle East. And Ramadan started, I believe, either Saturday or yesterday, or maybe even today, March 11th. And Rani, this actually is going to tell us a lot about the combatants. And I don't like using that term, but that's just the reality that we're dealing with. Because Ramadan is, you know, a holy period. And if you can't respect a people's faith during a holy period, then we know there is no bottom to what we're dealing with, no end. And I'm hoping, Rani, that with Ramadan now being in place, if it's just happenstance or just natural, that this will lead to the ceasefire that we need and ultimate, from a long-term standpoint, peace in the Middle East, man.
Absolutely, Neville. And Hamas have to understand that compromise might be absolutely necessary for them to realize the full value of the Ramadan experience, and Israelis have to understand they got the same thing. They don't have their time.
Yeah, they got their Passover and Rosh Hashanah and all that stuff. And
Both of them have a spiritual and a connection to their God, their omnipresent being, to guide them through this very tough time. And I hope that it plays a significant role in ending this conflict, you know, and you know who could capitalize on it? The United States of America.
Yeah, because Rani, they're blaming everything that's happening out in other parts of the world. They blame it on the West. It's like a cop out, an excuse, you know, something. Blame the West. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah, and it's time to get grounded in the love that all of these religions espouse, and as the base element of participating in humanity, love for fellow human beings and all the religions, Allah, Jesus Christ, all the Jewish, all of them have the same concept. And now is the time, I think,
to bring it together, because that conflict is really, really bad. So now, I hope so.
Now, Rocky, a couple of years ago, February, when we had the Ukrainian invasion, remember Putin's argument, right? The West, right? The West is a problem and what have you. But Rani mentioned a good point when we spoke about what happened in October, is that a lot of these places, their leadership came about because of war, because of the conflict. And we can't, if we claim to be striving for peace, why is it that there must be conflict in perpetuity? Rocky Leibo, this is the logic that, and Rani like to say this, the logic and the behavior don't agree.
Yeah. Listen, I was, I did some research on Ramadan, because I got a bunch of friends I know, going through Ramadan at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I too, like Rani, feels that this should be a time, just really a test to see, and I agree with him. If during Ramadan these folks continue this war behavior, then I don't see no hope. And I think America have a role to play, and all the other allies at this moment, they got to seize the moment of this time to find a way to bring peace, because this is the time that we're supposed to be, embracing each other, loving each other, as Rani was saying, and showing that kind of support to each other. And we cannot continue the way we are. And I believe that, and the president said something, they said, and they catch him out of the mic, but he really need to come to Jesus now with Netanyahu now.
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. Sir. Literally.
I like that, Iraqi.
Come to Yahweh. Come to Yahweh, wherever it is. Yeah. Yeah.
But
check this out. This is a double whammy, Rani, from this perspective. We have many Palestinians who've been starving. Right?
Yeah.
And one of the customs with Ramadan is to abstain from all food and drink.
Yeah.
Right? Via a daily fasting. Right?
Yes, right.
So this is hardship left and right, because a lot of these people haven't had a good plate of food.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now here we are, the primary custom of Ramadan is fasting during the day. I mean, I learned about this from sports, with the Muslim athletes, Rani, and they might be playing, or those of the Muslim faith who might be playing a professional sport, and if they celebrating Ramadan, during the daytime they ain't eating, and that's not necessarily a good thing when you have to exert so much energy and all that stuff, but. For our good, our brothers and sisters in Israel and Palestine as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, with all due respect, man, this one rough, but maybe this could serve as the impetus for a complete end of this conflict come April 9th, because it lasts from March 10th to April 9th, Rani Russell.
Yeah, I hope so, because, everybody have some kind of spiritual base, even those atheists.
But Rani, our existence here in the Virgin Islands came from that, our modern-day existence today. If they didn't have faith and didn't believe that there was going to be a brighter future for their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, we wouldn't have been here today.
Yeah, and so you go back to that base connection and use Ramadan and Lent, and you could go through the various times, and when different religions has rituals that are very important to them. So I want to see how, especially Biden, after that wonderful speech, how he could deal with this, because he gave a speech that is, that's his best speech I ever hear.
Mm-hmm.
Now he got to put into practice and carry it across the globe, that protect democracy, protect people's rights, protect people,
and in the women protect everything, and he got to put that into play with this Israeli Hamas conflict. He got to do it, I think.
Well, when you talk about that speech there, that's a good segue. Rocky, we come to find out that the answer by the Republicans them Thursday night was replete with a whole heap of misinformation, man. American politics really gone to zero, you know? Senator Britt from Alabama bringing up a story that had nothing to do with the current president and the lady that she was referencing actually was on CNN talking about it, and of course Saturday Night Live had a field day with it. Saturday gone. Rocky, I don't mean to cut you off. Rocky, fact checking really need to come into full effect with a lot of these politicians here. Now, I know that ultimately it's the electorate that's going to be the determinators with respect to, you know, what they want to believe and all that stuff. But this notion that a politician, whether it be Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Green Party, unaffiliated, could tell you something and you believe in it on its face, that's a sad commentary.
But Neville, I look at it a little further with the mere fact that this lady can come on national TV and tell a blatant lie, and then when you question her about it, she skirts around the issue.
Yes, sir.
Never answered it. You know what tells me? That tells me that our voting public have to be careful. When someone can come on national TV, do the kind of things like that, to me, that's the beginning of a corrupted society. When you, if they could do that outright on national TV, what they wouldn't do behind the TV?
But you know the problem is, Rocky? You know the problem is? There is no penalty, man.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, the penalty is supposed to be in the ballot box.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? But the partisan divide is so deep, Ronnie, that the folks on one side, when they find out the truth, they say, well, we ain't care anyway. We like the fact that they took a jab at them.
Exactly.
That's what's going on. And Ronnie, that's bad for society, man. For a civilized society.
Society is literally decaying before our eyes.
Yes, it
because
is.
Because if you could go on a national television and nobody from the news media, nobody, not editorial, after that was done, come up and say, well, we're sure that the listening audience need to know the truth, and this is not true what she said. This is the truth. Why you didn't have an editorial from some CNN or whatever? Because somebody needed to say that that's a lie.
This is a 2004 thing we're talking about that she referencing in 2024, you know?
Yeah,
a whole generation, man.
Yeah, so that,
yeah, but
you God, know...
Ronnie, yeah. I remember looking at either Meet the Press or Face the Nation, and they did do a synopsis saying that this did not happen during President Biden.
After somebody called them out on Twitter,
right,
that's what happened. Yeah man. But the reality is, what Ronnie is saying is, in effect, we missed the Tim Russert of the world for Meet the Press.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
there were certain journalists, right, whose natural instinct and your training, I mean, that's where you go to school, you know, and to learn. Your training is supposed to force you to research whether what that person just said is a factual statement or not.
Yeah,
and our problem is we're buying it on its face, and that decay that Ronnie mentioned is real.
Right, but you know that a guy who used to do that pretty well to me, he's no longer there, Don Lemon.
Yes.
You're right.
That's to bring the facts up, brother.
Yeah, man.
He reminds you what you said. At that time.
But Ronnie just mentioned it as it relates to your history, and you mentioned it too earlier, right? It's now a who thing. Not a what and not a how, but a who. You know
who.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And we continue to play this game at the expense of our moral fabric. And at some point,
we want to make wrong right.
Yeah, man. For example, Stefanik, Elsie Stefanik, she's a high-ranking Republican, right? She is now calling the folks who breached the Capitol building hostages, right? And Liz Cheney, who's a Republican, a fellow Republican, but she's no longer a congresswoman, had to post a statement from Stefanik saying that the day of the incident, January 6, 2021, the people who violated the building, they need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But now, 3 years later, they're hostages. This is craziness. Yeah. This is absolute craziness. And it's a reflection, not on her as a politician, but America as a country, Ronnie Russell, in terms of what we're allowing, right? Yes. At the expense of the moral fabric that I mentioned earlier. We can't have it.
That's why Biden addressed the Supreme Court justices directly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they out of touch with everything.
He tell them women are very powerful, and I'm sorry, justices, but you're gonna find out.
Yeah.
But you know what you're doing too, right? He was putting the woman never noticed though. And he was telling them, I hope I right to defend ourselves come the end of this year.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And hopefully, you know, that the pendulum would swing back to the middle.
That's what we need.
We make a correction in the political arena.
And we need expansion. Yeah. We need expansion in the court, Ronnie. Nine ain't enough.
And so, you know, the country facing some difficult times.
But that's why I asked you, Iraqi. I hope are you up there making sure the country running good? Because we need are you now to save the country? Because the country struggling, man. So while are you there? Please do are you can to save the country because she ain't doing well time. Hey, gentlemen, great discussion this morning. Hey, Rocky, you still freaking me out with Naftali Rivera and Raymond Dalmau. And I want to know what you know about them kind there. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Raymond Dalmau, right? He's a player for a team called Quebradillas. That's a tongue. That's a tongue up the way. Los Piratas de Quebradillas. I hear you, man. Los Piratas de Quebradillas. I like that. Hey, gentlemen, great discussion this morning. And I'm looking forward to talking with you later on this week. And then, of course, the table talk on a Monday on a regular basis. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You got it. And props to Lito Valls and Roger Hill, man. Memories and all that good stuff. Talk to you tomorrow. Be good and be safe.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
UVI's annual Friendraiser Afternoon on the Green is back on Sunday, March 17th from noon to 5 p.m. on the UVI Golf Course on St. Thomas. Enjoy mouthwatering dishes, music by RVP Band and Shaw HP, plus face painting and bouncy houses for the kids. Register online for the best dress and hat competition. Visit aog.uvi.edu. Sponsored by VIA, VI Council on the Arts, Hogland VI, and First Bank.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.